Yes. Good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday. 2:11. Nick DiGilio off this week. I'm Mark Carmen. Dan Shagru producing. Esmeralda Leon in traffic. I think Patty Vasquez is going to come up here and say hi before she goes home after she gets the lamp out of the studio downstairs, which is super cool. And we're with you till 5, baby. And it is true. Don't you worry. On night two of filling in, I do have my Fiji natural artesian water. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. On a remote island over 1,600 miles from the nearest continent, tropical rain slowly filters through volcanic rock into a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer. Drop by drop, Fiji water acquires the natural minerals and electrolytes that give it its signature soft, smooth taste perfected by nature. There's nothing on earth quite like it. I'm already having trouble reading the Fiji water, which is not a good sign for me or for you. But welcome to the Nick DiGilio Tuesday experience. I got to tell you, this water is delicious. And I am properly hydrated to start the show. I feel like I'm looking for endorsements. I'm not going to lie. And Fiji water is on the table. All right. Lot to do tonight. I had a very engaging day, but I ended it in non-engagement fashion, laying in bed, trying to get some sleep to be ready for you. And I'm watching Cubs baseball, a little Cub, a little Giant, a little West Coast, 9 o'clock start, WGN-TV, feeling the nostalgia. Not as many games, of course, on WGN-TV these days, but it was tonight, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just enjoying myself, and I'm thinking, you know, so many changes to Wrigleyville now, and over the weekend, I did a little bit on the Taco Bell going out. I'm sure you guys, do you guys talk about that on the show, Dan?
We did, yes.
Right. What was Nick's take on the Taco Bell?
It was one of those things. He thought the people who organized the protest went a little far. Like, he kind of, you know, he agrees. He grew up not too far away from Wrigley. So to see it transform that much is a little stunning for him. He doesn't think they should, you know, be organizing an event to protest the fact that Taco Bell's closing, but it is kind of sad to see something like that go away.
Esmeralda, thoughts on the Taco Bell?
There are at least two Mexican fast food joints right around the corner from there.
Azteca
you
de
don't
Oro
need Taco Bell,
right? But there, it's been there. It's an institution. It's a 2 a.m.er. Many people have made out in that Taco Bell parking lot, right? You've never done that?
No.
So you're not, okay. Again.
Do whatever, and I would, no.
Right, so that's
Taco
the thing.
Taco Bell is an abomination.
Right. I think Taco Bell's disgusting. Like, I would never go to Taco Bell. Haven't been to Taco Bell since probably 1992. However, when I found out that the Taco Bell was going out, I felt like a little bit of a loss, which is just weird, right? I think that's kind of bizarre.
Maybe they'll put a little plaque there. In remembrance.
Yeah, like a little, how about a little square on the, you know, on the.
And then people can make out there.
Sure, that's a great idea. Remember the Taco Bell. Let's get a kiss in right here. But then, you know, does anybody remember Yum Yum Donuts? It used to be right next to the ballpark, and ball players would go there and get hot dogs, and fans would go there. And, of course, before the game, get their donut, get their coffee, and they sold, I believe, I want to say, David Berg hot dogs, the same hot dogs that they sold in the park. And that's, as a kid, that's where we would go. David Berg, we'd go to Yum Yum. Dogs were like $1.70, whatever. You'd get three of them, four of them, whatever it was. I was crazy. And I'd bring them in, and I'd have my hot dogs in a bag. Never paid the ballpark prices, and that's how you lived. I mean, that was the thing to do. Hot dog, everything, two of them, three of them, yum, yum, go in, watch Cub baseball. Try not to pay, at that time, like, you know, Papa Fred taking me to Cubs games, or by the time I got to Yum Yum, I was going with my friends. But, you know, Papa Fred wasn't going to pay. There's no way I'm paying $2.50 for a hot dog. Are you kidding me? I'm not doing that.
How would he have reacted to a $7 Diet Coke?
He would not react well. $7. I mean, my dad's 91. And it's interesting, too, with my father. Like, he thinks that, and I agree with him on this, hopefully by the time if you live that long, you've actually made money or some money, and you should be able to afford things like riding the CTA or going to the movies. So why should the 91-year-old get a discount to go to the movies when you've had your whole life to work and accumulate some funds versus, say, the 20-year-old who's just starting out in life and hasn't, you know, still in school or whatever? Nice progressive angle by Papa Fred. Yeah, I like that one. However, he ain't paying no $2.50 for, I mean, when I can remember August of 1984, Mark Carmen's 11th birthday, Cubs and the New York Mets, 4-game sweep at Wrigley Field. And he allowed me to, for my birthday, we took like 5 or 6 of my friends to the Cub game. Sat in the terrace reserved way underneath behind home plate. Tickets were paid like $10 back then, maybe less, I don't know, 8, whatever it was. But that was a big deal, right, taking your friends to the Cub game. And I wanted to be the cool kid. We're going to the Cub game, so let's get hot dogs and Cokes for all my friends. Fred was not having that. Fred packed those corned beef sandwiches. Fred had a bag a mile wide for everything. We had, back then, you would bring, you'd bring the thermos. It was a whole situation. So everybody was getting, you want turkey, you want corned beef.
They pat you down now, right?
Like you can't. No, you can bring food.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think
you can bring peanuts. We were there Saturday. I think
you can bring peanuts.
Peanuts. The people behind me brought in bottled water, not Fiji, but bottled water.
Not the Fiji.
I don't know if
blasphemy
legal or not, but
I don't think my knowledge on the drink is that you can't bring it in, but maybe they got creative. Although it's hard now, you're going through a metal detector, right?
Right. Now every bag is searched.
Right. So maybe I'm wrong about the drink. I know you can bring in food, but here's the thing: technology has made things better, but there's something missing that was more real, right, back in the day. And so I would just kind of like to hear what people miss to start the show here. 312-981-7200. Like, I'm a sports guy, right? So when I would go to Old Chicago Stadium, the greatest indoor arena ever, I'll make that argument. I miss it, we'll always miss it. And we would sit in the second balcony. You would have to walk up like 12 flights of stairs to get to the top. And it was it was like $7, $6 for a second balcony seat. Nick DiGilio, I'm sure, can relate to this, going to Blackhawks games, whatever. And I would sprint up the staircases. See you later, Dad. I'll see you up there. And I was, 10. But he still would let me go. If you go to the United Center now, you just get in an escalator. It takes you right up and you're there. That's a lot easier and a lot less work. But it wasn't as fun. Like, it's just not, I at least maybe it's because I was a kid. But to actually sprint up the stairs and like work to get there, and then you get to the top, and then you look down and you see it. I mean, that was like super cool. But we've had we can build a brand new place and we can actually just stand there and it'll take you right to your seat, basically, and you can be there. And now we're, back in the day, good old rotary phone, right? Do you ever have the rotary phone, Esmeralda? Little.
I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Right now?
Yeah, how old do you think I am?
Well, you say you do. Like, I thought you do now, like in your home, you have some landline with like a rotary phone.
No, okay. But I do remember rotary phones.
Right. There was something about you had to work for it with the rotary phone. Like, it was exciting. Like, you try to do it as fast as you possibly could. Finger in the 4, finger in the 3, finger in, I know it's better that you can actually push a button and it goes, and, or you could just say, "Hey Siri, call Esmeralda." "Hey Siri, call Dan." I don't know. I had a very big nostalgic moment just sitting there tonight. 312-981-7200. What do you miss? Which doesn't like rationally make any sense whatsoever to start the show here. Good morning, 224. I'm Mark Carmen in for Nick DiGilio. Hope you had a great Monday. Did you get off to a good start this week, Dan? Did you rock and roll your Monday? Did you have a good 4 o'clock call?
I did have a good 4 o'clock
call. Did you?
My wife actually met the Cardinal yesterday, Cardinal Blaise Supich.
Wow.
Yeah. A friend of hers is part of an organization that got invited to the Cardinal's mansion. Mm. So the 4 o'clock call was to remind me that I had to watch our girls and put them to bed. So,
good work there.
Yeah.
Way to go. What's your wife's name?
Eileen.
Good job, Eileen. Congratulations. Anything you long for in the past, Dan, before I get to your calls, 312-981-7200, things you miss that don't like make logical sense?
Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense, and probably if you actually did this, I would only last a day, but like not having a cell phone at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I miss bar arguments over whether something is right or wrong, you know? Now you just look it up on your phone real quick, you know? But back in the day, we would spend hours arguing about stuff, and that was part of the fun because it would lead you on all these tangents, you know? If you were arguing about who was the home run king in 1997, you know, I'd be like, "Oh, do you remember when Sammy Sosa hit this home run, or remember how Steve Traxel took forever to, you know, pitch the ball, you know?"
That's a great angle.
I miss that, and I also miss like showing up to parties not knowing when you're walking into, you know, because I did sports in college and I would show up late because, you know, the game would wrap up at 10:30. By the time I showed up, I would be at midnight, and I would never know what I'd walk into. Now somebody would text me like, "It's lame, we're going to leave," or like, "It's so great." And it's just that loss of surprise.
I want to get back to that in 1 second because the whole college thing is super interesting, but I don't want to make Taxi Driver Bob my most loyal caller who calls
up. Yo, yo, yo.
What's up?
Going on?
What's up, Taxi Driver?
I didn't think you would go with the Fiji water at this time of the night. I thought you would have been loading up with the energy drinks.
I don't need energy when I get an opportunity to talk to you, Taxi Driver. I knew you were going to be around.
Well, thank you very much.
And,
sure.
And Patty just walked
kind.
To the studio, too. So there's like, I've got energy everywhere. And I'm hydrated with my Fiji water.
She better be wearing a jacket when she leaves. It's a bit brisk out there.
She is.
Got my hoodie on and everything, Taxi Driver Bob.
Cool.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cool. But I the one story that I remember about a kid going to Wrigley Field, my dad's relatives invited me to a game, and I never thought too much of some of my dad's relatives. My dad was the greatest guy ever, in my opinion, but some of his relatives were little to be desired. In fact, the woman that was the husband and wife, her name was Toots, which I thought was quite the amusing name. But anyways.
Go Toots.
I'm going to the game, you know, and you know, when you're a kid, you want to get food. So I get a hot dog and I get a drink and I'm done with the hot dog. The hot dogs, you know, at that time were not any monstrous hot dogs. They were, you know, they were okay, but they were not very big. And you have to have at that time in the 60s and early 70s, you had to have a slice of Ron Sano pizza.
Right. Of course.
So she turns to her husband and says, "Boy, this kid can eat." It's like, I looked at him like, and I'm saying to myself, they're crazy and really cheap. You know, I mean, if you're going to invite me to the game, what do you expect me to do? To sit there and maybe have a soft drink and that's it? So I remember that so vividly, and I loved going to the games back then. It was just Wrigley Field has always been a magical place, and seeing all my childhood, people, Ron Sano and Billy Williams and Ernie Banks and Billy Williams, all the whole crew out there. It was just always a time that I really cherished. I used to always sit out in right field when the Pittsburgh Pirates were in town to see Roberto Clemente, and mm-hmm. you know, just had a lot of really good times at Wrigley Field. And you know, when I went there, I usually didn't get any food at the ballpark, like you said. You usually got something outside of the ballpark. Not that food was that expensive back then, over there, but it was always more expensive in the ballpark than if you were to get it outside of the ballpark. So,
hold on, though, Bob. Before you leave here, I think the point of this call is that you have unresolved issues with Toots. And if,
yes, I do.
Yep. Right. So if Toots
may she
was
rest in peace.
May she rest in peace. But let's just we're going to role play it. Patty, are you willing to be Toots?
I'm willing to be Toots.
Okay.
Hey, Toots Bob.
Bob, Toots is here. You can talk to her right now. Say what you want to say to
here,
Toots.
Here, Bobby, don't spend it all in one place.
Hey, Toots, what's the deal?
What?
The guy's got to have a slice of Ron Santo pizza. Well, what's up?
Well, look, I'm just trying to look out for you, all right? You save some of your money. I'm making sure it's all in a good place. That's all. You're a good kid,
yeah,
though. I was only looking out
like
for
that,
you.
That's,
I'm sorry. How did she sound? Was she a little more sultry? I don't know. Toot sounds like she would sound like this.
No.
I'm trying to create the most awkward moment that I can on the radio right now.
Well done. Mission accomplished.
Bob, do you want to say Toots? Toots, I hate you.
Do it. Go ahead.
No,
Give it to me.
Okay.
You never.
How about Toots?
I wouldn't go that far.
How about Toots? I forgive you.
Oh, there you go.
You know, maybe just, I don't know. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to say anything.
It's somewhere in the middle of I hate you and I forgive you. What's in the middle of that?
I forgive you. No, I forgive her. She was a bit on the ignorant side, thinking the kids only eat a little bit of food when they go to the ballpark.
It's a ball game. Why do you got to eat anything?
And on top of it all, I remember her husband liked wearing, which was just so odd, a sailor's hat. Like Thurston Howell in Gilligan's Island, that type of hat.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bizarre, and then he wore a suit jacket with that, and usually not a tie, but like, you know, that that scarf type deal, like Thurston Howell.
A cravat. Howell.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was amazing. I'm surprised you came up with that. Now I'm not so ignorant anymore. It's a how do you spell that?
A cravat is
C-R-A-V-E-A-T,
I believe.
Never heard of it before in my life. I'm looking it up though in the spirit of
look it up to check her, make sure she's not lying to us.
Cravat is C-R-A-V-A-T in the spirit of what Dan Shagrew was just saying. Like we could have argued all night about how to spell cravat, but now I can just figure it out in 5 seconds. So that's a cravat, a short, wide strip of fabric worn by men around the neck and tucked inside an open neck shirt. Mm-hmm. A cravat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Toots and the husband that wore the sailor's hat.
I want to know what Toots was wearing.
She would usually be wearing something like Thurston's wife. What was her name again?
Lovey.
Lovey. That's right. Here we go. Yes, Lovey. It was like Thurston and going to a Cubs game with Thurston and Lovey. Very bizarre.
Those were the days. Hey, taxi driver, I got to go to news, so
Take care, you. Man.
Thanks, all brother.
Right,
bye, sweetie.
Are you hanging out for one little segment here, Penny?
Sure.
You are, really?
If you'd like me to.
I would love you to.
It's very bright in here, though. If you could dim the lights.
We're going to turn all the lights off. We're going to go full darkness.
This hurts me.
Full darkness for you. 720 WGN 239. Good morning. Patty Vasquez is so nice and sweet to hang out. What do you mean?
I never get to see you anymore. I miss you so much. I call your show on Saturdays and Sundays.
It's such a highlight when I get a call from Patty or a text or anything around the weekend.
Sometimes I text yelling at you guys.
That's fine too. I saw you on the rooftop via Facebook Live and whatever you're doing over there.
David Player's 50th birthday. He got a rooftop birthday party from his family, pretty much organized by one of his teenage sons, I think, and one of his other family members. Can you imagine celebrating your birthday? Your kid arranges a rooftop party.
It's a nice job by his kid right there.
It was really good. Wayne Messmer was there.
I saw a picture. Like, Wayne's there? Was he singing the national anthem for Dave Player?
He was hanging out. He gets to hang out and not sing. I mean, I was tempted. I didn't take a selfie. He had a Cubs World Series ring on, by the way.
Did you take a video of yourself going over there on the train or something? Did I see that?
I think we took selfies of us going over. Okay, so I've never done the free parking and shuttle.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's remarkable. I had no idea. Behind that Boys and Girls Club over on Irving.
It's Rockwell or something?
Yes, it is on Rockwell.
Right.
And then there are tons of school buses lined up, and they will take you to the park right at the gates there at Addison and Clark, right?
Sure.
Or Waveland, maybe. No, what's Addison and
They could do. You could do a Waveland and Clark. You could do an Addison and Clark.
I think it's Addison. They'd like, and Clark. It's crazy.
True Cub fans call Clark and Addison. We got to get the order straight.
Well,
here.
I was always coming from Lane Tech, so I'm going down Addison, and then you hit Clark, so that's why.
I got you. That's what spawned the decision to. We're gonna park and we're gonna take the bus, Elliot. Let's go.
Yeah, no, that was his idea. I usually park at Lane Tech, and then I just Uber over. I had no idea there was a free bus situation. I park at Lane because I like to look at the really cool baseball field that Kerry Wood and a lot of the Cubs help bring about at Lane Tech.
So that's like legit. You only park there. It's not real convenience, but you want to go back to your past and have a moment.
What I do is after the games, and the night that you helped me out getting a ticket to the Dodgers-Cubs game during the playoffs, your brothers were in line.
I said, stand in this line. And go pay lots of money, and you did.
They flaked. They totally whiffed on that. They wouldn't stay.
The cheapest of all time.
But and to be fair, I mean, the Cubs did lose that game 1-0.
Yeah, but the Cubs were in the NLCS. They were on the way to the World Series. You got to go.
The playoff game, and I got to walk back toward my car, which was parked at Lane Tech, and I contemplated, you know, where we were in this time in history, where the Cubs were in the hunt, right?
Yeah.
And because there's a path that curves through Lane Tech's front lawns, and I could look in the windows to our libraries because the lights are always on there. Look, I could see the wood carvings on the walls and the chandeliers, and it was wonderful to think of, like, what would 14-year-old Patty think? The Cubs on the hunt for a World Series championship.
What would 14-year-old Patty think?
I would have been nuts. I mean, because little Patty cried. We talked about the 84 Cubs and that grand slam.
Steve Garvey.
Oh, man.
Game four?
Yeah.
Henry Cotto climbing the wall.
It was brutal. It was brutal.
It was.
I mean, I've told you that my softball coach is like, who do you think you are? The Sarge? The way I'd stand on the batter's box, like taking the bat, just moving my hips everywhere, waving it around. Yeah, couldn't sit still in the batter's box. So, yeah, so to your question about, you know, reflecting on things, you know, yeah, I feel like I walk through my own, like, footsteps from when I was a kid, like the ghost of myself, I guess.
What's the place across?
Well, there was a Heroes, I think, is closing the Subway, the submarine sandwich place.
Okay, there was that, and then there's a. He's got a great chicken. He has a nice barbecue chicken across the way. They're Big Boy Euros.
Okay.
No, that wasn't there. Love Big Boy Euros.
When I was a kid, there was a place called Mickey's, and it was a wonderful Greek man named Mickey who had the best mozzarella sticks.
Oh, yeah.
And that was on Western. So that was south of Addison. It was a great joint. That was our hangout.
My niece is 10. She's probably eyeing Lane Tech at some point if they don't move out of the city, which is always a consideration. But they've been considering that for about 10 years, and she's 10. So
she wants Lane Tech? She's 10. She wants Lane Tech. What name?
Well, she doesn't necessarily want it, but that's where they live, right there. They're at like Belmont in California.
Okay.
No?
My son and I, we were looking. Did you see today that Walter Payton High School?
The number one school?
In the country.
In the country.
Did you see this? Dan, did you
see? I did. It was crazy. Like five of the top 10.
Yeah. It's crazy. I think it was in the top 10, even in the top five, it was Jones Prep is in the top 10, which I'm not even familiar with. Whitney Young is in there. Adlai Stevenson, which is out in the suburbs. Can someone tell me how we got so many CPS schools in the top 10? And I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. And Northside Prep is number two. That was the number two.
A lot of pressure on the kid, though, right? You got to test into Walter Payton Prep. Mm-hmm. You got to test
all of those. Yeah, you got to test. You have to have grades leading up to that.
And you're like, you're 10, you're 12, you're 13. Were you obviously were.
I went, well, Lane Tech at the time. I don't know how I got in, honestly. Because when I got there, they made me take like pretty much all the classes that were not remedial, but you know, I never had biology. They put me in geology. I had to study rocks.
I'm trying to think biology.
I never had calculus.
Biology was definitely taken in high school for me.
I did not. Dan, did you have biology?
I did have biology.
I had geology. Honestly, if they felt that your test scores weren't strong enough for science, you were put in the geology class.
Interesting.
So I don't know if this is statewide, but I know at my school we only needed 2 years of math.
See?
So you technically wouldn't have even done geometry unless you went for it. Or calculus.
I took three. I took algebra, trigonometry, geometry, and no calculus. I didn't need to take that.
I took geology in college.
Oh, me too.
That was the only because I had like a random three electives that I could use. And my buddy's like, why don't you take geology? You'll go to class for the first half of the semester, and then we're all going to Florida on a bus to, like, I mean, that was the thing.
Where'd you go?
We went to the Florida Keys to go.
What school, though?
That was the University of Iowa.
Okay. Because at U of I, we called it jocks for rocks for jocks.
Yeah.
Well, they called geology.
That was kind of what was going on. Was although that, these guys were legit. I mean, they were, you know, getting after it and knowing all the sorts of stuff. I did not belong at all. And we got on a nice Greyhound style bus.
Wow.
for spring break. And, you know, these geology people, they know geology people. So I was like this rando who knew no one. And I think I purposely tried to make it look like I sort of.
So the trip to Florida wasn't a fun trip. It was a geology trip.
Well, right. Combo.
What?
I mean, I was going for fun.
That's kind of fantastic.
I was going to meet the geology students.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you don't remember any of the lessons? Oh, which lessons do you remember?
Are there any pickup lines involving rocks? Yeah.
All I remember is getting on that bus and trying to look like I smelled, and you didn't want to sit next to me, and nobody did because, you know, you're on a Greyhound. We're driving to Florida. That's 24, 28 hours, whatever it was. Nobody would sit next to me, and then my buddy across the way was telling people no because he was saving the seat for some girl that he wanted to sit next to.
Sure.
She overslept, missed the bus. So he had two seats. I had two seats. We had legs draped across the aisle on the bus going down there and other forms of relaxation that were going on. And it was quite a nice trip to Florida.
That's a long haul.
So favorite rock?
Yes. What's your favorite rock?
Sheetrock. Is that a rock?
Sure.
I think that's a combo of rocks.
Little slate.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All I remember is being on some boat in the Keys with it bobbing up and down, and people couldn't handle it, and somebody lost it.
Sure.
Downwind coming straight at us, and it just, and I, there was one person shielding me from what was coming down, and all over her, like, fleece coat, just nailed.
That's hard
Wait,
to shake.
Wait, fleece
too.
Coat?
She had, like, you know, one of those.
Because it was cold on the ocean.
It was a little chilly or something. She got nailed by his vomitus. That happened. I learned a lot.
Mm.
Are we on the air? Is this going on?
Best kind of radio, man. Yeah. Stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
By the way, here are some pickup lines that the Carm could have used on his trip. Hey, baby, I won't take you for granted.
Ooh.
let's see. I hope you're a geology major because I need you to take a look at this rock in my. Never mind.
Oh, my. Now we know Patty's here.
Is it quartz? Quartz rock?
Mm-hmm. Can I have your number so I can text her?
Mm. Did you?
Oh, here
yes,
it is.
Yes.
I don't know much of geology, but I sure do know that I can rock your world.
There it is. Did young Patty at the University of Illinois, did you do spring break? Did you?
I did. I did South Padre. That was stupid. It was stupid. It was one of the. Have we never talked about South Padre?
No.
Oh, that was bad. It was. It was five of us in a car driving. I mean,
you went to South Padre.
Yes, of course I went to South Padre, and there are pictures, the kind that, you know, might prevent me from ever seeking public office.
Did you have a boyfriend at the time?
Yes,
you did. Was he on the trip?
No.
Were you faithful to him on the trip?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I was faithful to him. Did I do things that might have questioned our relationship for him? Perhaps.
Perhaps. Well, yes. You were in South Padre.
I was in South Padre. There might have been moments where I wore my bra on the outside of my clothing, which isn't really hot when you think about it. It's not really attractive.
Yeah, it was more. It's of a, kind of attractive.
It was a weird statement. And not pretty bras, like grandma bras.
Like over a shirt?
Yeah. I have photos of that.
But all right.
For sure.
Well, that's what that's what Lollapalooza is all about, right?
This is not hot, though. I mean, it really is, you know, it wasn't pretty.
Why?
I'll get you photos of that.
Oh,
I have.
Great. I feel slightly uncomfortable, but I would definitely look at them.
And possibly crushing a beer can. Anyway, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, well.
In a hot tub. Yes?
Crushing a beer can in the hot. Oh, with. Okay. Yeah. I got it. not with your hands. Right. Did you walk around and see any of the Lollapalooza sites? Have you looked at the pictures?
I was at an after party and did not fit in very well at all with young people, was all I learned. But other than that, I mean, do you feel like we've come to the point, we talked about this earlier, where it used to be folks like us would talk about the cool bands that are going to be there and all this great music. Now we're like, can you believe what they're wearing or what they're doing or what they're drinking, what they're saying?
I mean, I was standing on the corner by Whole Foods right over here.
Uh-huh.
And they're 12.
I know.
They're 12.
Younger than my older son, by the way.
Right. And they're wearing, like, jean shorts that are not shorts.
Mm-mm.
I mean, are barely underwear, honestly.
Yeah, they're thongs.
And whatever's going on up top with, like stars. And I'm like, do your parents, how did you get out of the house? What's going on here?
Can I tell you, I heard the greatest thing. I was on the bus when it was raining, and some of them got on. And they had, I guess this group got split up from another group. And I just heard one of their voices. And the guy was like, she's at Monroe. I was like, what? What planet do you exist on? Like, how do you live? What is that voice? Like, he was Keanu times 25. It was insane.
It'll be fine. The future is fine, Carl.
Okay.
The future is, hey, we made it.
We did.
There were things that you got on a bus to Florida.
I did.
To use pickup lines like, are you hydrochloric acid because you're making my limestone fizz? See, that was...
What site are you on over there? Geologyjokes.com?
It is pickup lines. Funniest geology pickup lines. Mm-hmm.
See, that's what the internet does for you. I told... Nick's dad's joke tonight? Is that a thing?
That's just night. Once a week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's only once a week?
Yeah. You know what we want to do? I want to have my mom listen to Nick's dad's joke of the week on Mondays and play her reaction to them on Monday nights.
That would be awesome.
What's going on with...
Are you going to Revenge of the Nerds?
What's
tonight?
Revenge?
Tonight, Revenge of the Nerds at the Rosemont AMC with Nick D's Movie Club. 8 p.m. tonight.
8 p.m. Revenge of the Nerds and I won't be there.
Curtis Armstrong, Booger is going to be there.
I heard Booger is going to be there. We talked about this last night, didn't we?
Dan, you coming?
I will not be able to make it, unfortunately.
I'm going
to
be there.
You're going?
I'm
going
to be there.
You do things. You really.
She's great. She's always at station events. If there's a video being shot, like, she's there.
It's not that she's just at station events. You create the events, Patty. Right?
I think it comes from, you know what? You actually said this. I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
I have said that, yes.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I was listening on my radio one day, heard Carm say those words. I'm like, I'm going to use that and attribute them to him.
Well, it's true. We are not here for a long time. We're here for a good time.
Keep showing up.
Former Cub manager along those lines, Don Baylor passing away today, 68 years old. Great man.
Yes.
Groove. Mm-hmm. People appreciated Don Baylor. That was a good dude. Cancer.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well.
Same age as my dad. My dad was 68 when he
passed. Is that right?
He passed away. Yeah. That's too young. Even the first responders were like, he was so young.
How long ago was that now?
2001.
2001.
16 years. Mm-hmm.
Is that crazy?
It is crazy.
Like
it
when
is.
When you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Time flies. All right.
It does. We're not here for a long time.
We're here for a good time.
Exactly.
All right, so you get to go home. Any parting thoughts for the crew here?
I am interviewing Lonnie Anderson. You can hear that later on tonight. So Lonnie Anderson from WKRP in Cincinnati is joining me on my show. I'm pretty late.
You want to know my tie-in to that?
What's your tie-in?
There is
you like Bailey better.
I was never a huge KRP watcher, but I always loved... I know who Lonnie is. And I always loved the song, mm-hmm. Baby, If You Ever Wonder What Became of Me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, WKRP. There is a tennis tournament in Cincinnati coming up right now, the Western Southern Open, and somebody called me up and wanted advice on, you know, how to do the tournament properly, and of course I do have thoughts on that. So I called her back, she didn't answer. But I left her a message singing WKRP in Cincinnati like 2 days ago, and now you're interviewing Lonnie Anderson.
I am interviewing Lonnie.
And we're sitting here at 2:55 in the morning talking about it all. It's full circle right
Synergy,
there.
Synergy, my friend.
Right?
Yes.
See?
I'm excited about it. I'm nervous, too.
Oh, you'll
do great. I was a big fan. She was like a modern-day Mae West.
You are going to put her on a little bit of a pedestal. Just remember, you're right there with Lonnie.
Oh, there you go.
She has nothing on you, Patty. She doesn't.
Well, there's so many things we're going to talk about. If you have any questions, you can Facebook my page or go to my Facebook page and tell me if you have any questions for Lonnie Anderson, Patty B. Show. It's Carm. When are you back for – are you in this week again?
I am here Thursday into Friday. It's my birthday. I'm going to come in early
and
see
you. That's right. We're Leos, aren't we?
We are. Mm-hmm. What are you?
The 17th.
The 17th. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to bring you a gift.
Oh, that's weird. It's your birthday.
I'm going to bring you a gift
on
your birthday, on my birthday.
I'll bring you a gift on my birthday.
Okay, I think it's going to be, I know what it's going to be. Okay. I know what it's going to be. I'm going to keep it to myself.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
Well, it'll be something that the whole crew can enjoy.
Excellent.
All right. Well, thanks for coming up.
Well, thank you for having me. I miss you, Carm.
I miss you too, Patty.
I'll talk to you soon.
We're going to win the World Series, by the way. Don't worry.
I'm good. Okay. I'm good either way.
All right. Good morning, 3:05. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday. I'm Mark Carmen in for Nick DiGillo. Thanks to Patty Vasquez for stopping by. Always great to talk to Patty. And we'll get to see her on Thursday night into Friday. I get to fill in one more time this week. I think Elton Jim is in tomorrow night. Is that correct? So you get a little Elton tomorrow. And I believe on Wednesday as well, and then I'll be back on Thursday. So, all right, team, we've got an issue, and I think we need to talk this through. The story today out there in technology land is that we are going to potentially be flying without a pilot. That's right, team. I don't know about the whole... driving, like, are you willing to, Dan, would you get into an Uber that's not driven by anyone other than Apple or whatever technology it is?
I would if it was in the city. I would not do highway. I mean, city, you know, obviously there's still accidents that happen in the city, but I would feel a lot more comfortable in the city. I don't know if I'd do it on the highway when we're doing, you know, 70.
Esmeralda, thoughts?
I would do it, but only if the cars are on tracks.
Only if the cars are on tracks. I don't think the cars are going to be on tracks.
Then no.
So, Dan, you're saying that you're willing to be, you won't go in a car that's going 70 miles an hour, but you are willing to, like, fly around Chicago city streets?
I mean, you know, even when you're flying around Chicago city streets, there's still a lot of stop and go. There's still, you know, you're not gunning it down Michigan Avenue.
I think I'd lose it on the mechanical guy. Hey, go in the right lane, pass those cars, skirt on by, let's go. Chop, chop. I got to get to WGN Radio wherever I got to go. Not that I take a ton of Ubers, but when I do, I'm like, hey, buddy, kick it in. This whole thing, if you guys missed the story, and it's everywhere today, like literally every publication is writing about it, pilotless planes would save airlines $35 billion a year and could lead to substantial fare cuts if passengers were able to stomach the idea of remote-controlled flying. Savings for carriers could be huge, said investment bank UBS, even though it may take until the middle of the century for passengers to have enough confidence to board a pilotless plane. So you're getting, this is what's coming. You're getting on a plane, there's no pilot, and by the way, this also means that planes that don't have people on them, that have cargo on them, probably that's where it's going to go first, right? Nobody really is worried about the applesauce that's flying through there, whatever flies through the air. I don't know what goes on. I don't know why I picked applesauce either, but that just... might speak to the fact that I might want some applesauce right now. But so we're going to, you're talking about cargo going first. That's probably how they test it out. You might have applesauce dropped on your lawn at some point here. And then it's going to be people. I hope to be alive to see this. Let's start there. But you watch Back to the Future 3 and you see all this wacky stuff going on. And now, I don't know. I find it incredible. Passengers could benefit from a reduction in ticket prices of about a tenth. 10%. That's it. The average percentage of total cost and average benefit that could be passed on to passengers for U.S. airlines is 11%. Listen, if you told me that I'm saving 50% on my flight to wherever, I'm intrigued. As much as I don't want people to lose their jobs, and I like pilots, and I think they're cool, and I want to be one. But if you told me I'm 50% less, well, okay, you guys got to figure out something else to do. It's the way it goes. But for 10%, $300 flight, I'm saving 30 bucks. That's not very exciting. I'll pay the extra 30. Give me pilot Dan Chigrou taking me home. Airlines costs and fuel make up a much larger portion of costs than pilot salaries. Now I think like pilots should make more money. More than half of the 8,000 people that were surveyed said they would refuse to travel in a pilotless plane, even if fares were cut. 54% of the respondents said they were unlikely to take a pilotless flight. I'm willing to do an informal survey right now on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. How much money would you have to save for it to be worth your while to go pilotless? Let's say you're going overseas, and the flight to, call it Paris, is $800, and you can go for $400, and you're putting your faith in a computer. Are you in? Esmeralda, you're test case number one.
Is there anyone in there? Like, just looking at the stuff, not touching it?
There's somebody.
Just in case?
There's someone in some control place somewhere.
No, but not in the plane, at least just sitting there.
Well, that what first is coming is it used to be you'd have three people that were flying the plane, right? Then they went down to two. And really, the two was like, the second person was, hey, buddy, don't fall asleep. Like, they didn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now what's coming up next is going to be one.
I mean, I would want someone in there just to, like, in case something goes awry. But if there's no one in there and it's just a computer, no thank you. I'm fine.
Okay, so you would...
I will pay the extra for people.
Okay. I'm saying, like, half. Like, for your flight to, let's say it's a last-minute flight to California, and it's somebody's wedding, Esmeralda, and it's going to cost you $1,000 to get out there on whatever, but you can do it $500 for pilotless.
Psh, I still wouldn't go. $500? Are you kidding me?
All right, how about this? I'll sweeten the deal. $200, you can get out there, go pilotless, or $1,000.
No.
Okay.
Now, hopefully, because this technology is happening, there will be video and webcams of this wedding. I'll watch it online.
312-981-7200. The technology people are listening right now, I can promise you, at 3:13 in the morning. Good morning. Will you go pilotless plane? See your future, be your future. There's a reason why you're listening at this moment in time. It's to think about you flying in a pilotless plane. Steve, you sound like you're on a plane right now.
I'm sorry if I got a bad reception there, guys.
That's
I'm
okay.
In a loud pickup truck. How's that sound?
What are you delivering, Steve?
I'm just in my pickup truck. I am a truck driver, but I just got done. I'm headed home now. So.
Okay. Who do you drive for?
So I would not fly in a pilotless plane, especially, I mean, think about it today with the technology the hackers and stuff have. I mean, that's just asking for trouble. And even if they put in all kinds of, devices or defenses against hacking, there's always ways around it. You know, look at banks and stuff. Look how much information they have to keep safe, and they do everything they can, and it's people still get around it no matter what. So I don't think I would do it.
Have you ever seen the movie War Games, Steve?
I have not.
Anybody resonating with a War Games reference on that, Dan? See, War Games.
Play a game.
Would you like to play a game?
Maybe I should watch it. I don't know.
Well, it's basically what you're talking about, like a computer taking over and having mal intentions. Although you're talking about, I guess it's not exactly the same thing because it would be a human hacking into it. But you're,
sure.
I think this is personal for you, Steve. You're a driver, and so
yes.
Henceforth you're a pilot too, in some ways, shape, or form, right? So I think this is a protection call to your industry. That's what I'm feeling.
It could be in a way, because actually they're calling for driverless trucks now, too, and they've already started putting a few of those out there in testing, just like they have with the cars. So it very well could be. But, you know, looking a little bit deeper into this also, you know, if you think about this, our population is getting bigger and bigger by the second, and our jobs seem to be going more computerized by the second.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, there's got to be a turning point, correct? I mean, at some point, where there's definitely not going to be enough jobs out there to support everyone. So I don't know. At some point, there's got to be that tipping point of, you know, no way to find a job, no way to support yourself, no way to eat, and government can't help you no more, and then what are we going to do? So,
well, see, now we've gotten into the whole completely terrifying zone, right? Because I've read like a couple. See, what they're trying to do is they're having the man build up everything, and then they're trying, and then eventually the rich are going to be like, I don't need the man anymore,
mm-hmm.
because they just built it all for him so they can live, you know, high on life with computers and have all the money.
I used to believe that pretty hardcore until a couple years ago, and I got thinking, you know what? If they wanted to do that, they would just do it, or they would have done it by now. So I'm not so much thinking that aspect as much, but you got to figure there's got to be a tipping point there somewhere to where everything is robotics and computerized and done by itself compared to how many people need a job. It, I don't know, something to think about.
Right, and let's go one more deepness here, Steve, as we
sure.
get to know each other. What's the
let's do it.
What's the best part of your day? Like, what
the
do you
best
look
part
for?
Of my day is
like, what do you
right
look forward
now,
to the most?
Driving home. Right now, driving home. Leaving work and going home.
Okay. But are you married? You got a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever's going on over there? What?
Yep, married with two sons under two.
Oh, wow, congratulations. So,
well, thank you.
I guess where I'm trying to get here is, like, we need connection. We need to be mm-hmm. able to, even if it's, you know, kind of fake connection, like, social media. We need that contact during the day. We can't just computerize everything where, you know, we're just in our own world. We'll lose it. I don't see, like, humans are not going to survive that way. I guess
I absolutely agree.
That's kind of my hope, that this is not going to be the pilotless planet, so to speak.
Yep, me too. I absolutely agree with that. And then I'm afraid that's where it's going, and it may take a few hundred years for it to get there, but you know, at some point, we're not going to be talking to each other anymore. It's just going to be all computerized and text messages back and forth. And, you're just going to think about what you want to say, and it's going to get into the other person's head. And there you go. So.
That's entirely possible, too. Who knows?
So I think we were talking about pilotless planes, were we not?
We were. Steve, you could be a radio guy. If you want to,
sure.
if they take the driving away, you can come do this. You've got a natural flow to it, my friend.
Look at that. I mean, full circle, right? That's rule number one, isn't it? Got it right back.
That's exactly right. Thanks for calling, man.
Right,
get home safe.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate
Bye.
You. 312-981-7200. We can have another rambling conversation if you'd like. That was fun. After this quick timeout, there's a little... As far as us needing each other, I witnessed something the other day that was disturbing and also spot on as to how we're living our lives. We'll talk about that coming up on the backside of this quick timeout. 720 WGN, good morning, 321. I'm Mark Harmon in for Nick DiGilio. Nick is back next week. Elton Jim here tomorrow and Thursday, and then I'm back on Friday morning. Dan Shigrew will be here all week, as will Esmeralda, who looks like she's having a great apple right now, a nice green granny apple, which looks delicious and healthy. I learned actually a little bit about nutrition today. The ratio, I was told that you don't, when you're having carbs, you have to have them with protein. That was my learn of the day if you're looking for a little nutritionist tip, which I'm sure you are right now at 3:22 in the morning. All right. To follow up on my amazing tease going into the break, I was over on Toohey Avenue this past Sunday where I played softball Sunday mornings. And New York Bagel is an institution over there, open 24 hours. great bagel, good sandwiches. So I'm done with softball. Got to have a little lunch before doing the beat, 3 to 6 on Sundays. Free plug, thank you. So I go and I get my turkey sandwich, see the egg bagels come out fresh, throw it on the egg bagel, a little cheese, a little lettuce, a little tomato, do a little potato salad with the drink combo. Really, and they have like a little tiny counter there. No seats, but you can stand and have your sandwich if you so choose. Or obviously you can take it with you. So I'm standing, I'm having my sandwich. I'm looking out the window, and husband and wife, I'm assuming, or middle-aged man, middle-aged woman, they're sitting in their car, and they've both just gotten their sandwiches from New York Bagel. One's in the driver's seat, one's in the passenger seat. They're both eating. They could have stood at the counter, but whatever, they wanted their privacy. They wanted to go to their car and eat. That's fine. No problem. The dude in the driver's seat is on his phone. She's on her phone. They're having two separate conversations. They're sitting in the car. They're eating their lunch. And I don't know why this bothered me, but I was like, oh my God, put the phone down. Have a word between your turkey sandwich bite. There was just everything about it just reeked as wrong. Come on, man. There's this nice, beautiful counter. We could all be sort of having lunch together. Have a New York bagel moment. I could use, you know, someone to talk to. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But there they were in their car. One on the phone in the driver's seat, one on the phone in the passenger seat, eating their New York bagel, not talking to each other at all. Dan, should I not have been bothered by this?
It's tough.
You know this is a scene that doesn't surprise you, right?
Or no, it does not surprise me at all. You know, it kind of ties into what Esmeralda was talking about yesterday when, you know, there are times where you're just like, I don't want to talk to you. I see you. I talk to you constantly. So, you know, part of me understands that if they're husband and wife that it's okay. But, like, if it was kids, that would bother me more. Like, if they had kids with them, mm-hmm. then I'd be like, no, mm-hmm. have a conversation. But if it's two adults, it's kind of like, well, who knows? Maybe on the entire ride over they talked and, you know, now they're doing other things while enjoying their bagel.
And I don't have any, I mean, maybe they were having some important conversations. I don't know what was going on. But I just, I don't know. I guess I was looking at, like, if that was me and I was, you know, dating / married to said person, and that's how we did our deal. You're on the phone. I'm on the phone. You're doing, I mean, I feel like you have enough time apart where, you know, you can make your phone calls. I don't know. Esmeralda, should I have knocked on the window?
No. I mean, I wouldn't knock on the window. I'd just probably give them that, like, really? That's what you're doing? Because I hate it when people do that. My boyfriend will do it sometimes, and I just stare at him.
Do what?
He'll be on his phone, and we're out to dinner. Or even if we're, you know, eating at home or something, I will just stare at him. And then he realizes I'm staring at him. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. That's really rude. I'm like, yeah, it is. See, I'm right here. Talk to me.
I see. I feel like you're on that phone, though, yourself. You're always, you got snaps.
I'm only on the phone if I need, like, say there's a discussion. Then I'll be like, oh, look at this, or do something. It's an interactive thing, but I'm not, like, on in my own little world on the phone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's a reason, because I'm trying to add to whatever we're talking about.
And just for the record, and I say this all the time and need to get it out there again, I'm a huge hypocrite. And let's see, it was Friday night. It was date night for myself and girlfriend Chelsea. And we went to Bacchanali, which is, well, that was a first time experience for me down in off of 55 in Damon. It was delicious. It was the best lasagna I've ever had. It was on Chicago's Best. Phenomenal. But my phone's going nuts in my pocket, just buzzing away. And so I picked it up, you know, just pulled it out of the pocket and then there's a bunch of texts going on. I forget exactly what was around. And she's like, are you serious? Are you really going to your phone? This is date night, and you can't make it through a meal without going to the phone. So maybe that's the issue here. I'm trying to somehow call myself out. That's what's happening right now on the show.
So I think it's okay. It's passable if you just look at your phone real quick, see what, and then just put it away. A quick peek of whatever was buzzing. Because sometimes, I don't know, it could be actually something important.
There could be something.
But don't linger.
No lingering. Or how about this? Like, hey, my phone's going crazy. Would you mind if I take a second to look at it?
Oh, that would be nice.
That's
even a step. Yeah.
That was the move. Text line 505. Neighbor, coworker invited me to dinner. During dinner, he and his wife both on their laptops at the table. I ate my food, got off, washed off my dishes, and left them in the sink. Went home. Half an hour later, he called and asked me where I went. I told him that when I invited people to my house, I usually talk to them, but that's just me. That's rough.
That is some rude people.
That is rough.
On their laptops? Like what? Did you just have extra food you wanted me to eat? Could just give it to me in a doggy bag.
I mean,
eat in my own house.
Maybe there was something going on Google. All right, news is coming right up here. 720 WGN. All right, I need your help right now. Good morning, 3:35. We are 13 days away. 13 days away. Esmeralda, do you know what we're 13 days away from?
No.
It's coming up on August the 21st. Dan, I told you what I was going to be talking about, so I can't ask you. Vic Vaughn, do you know what's coming up on August the 21st?
No.
It's the Great American Eclipse. All right? It's going to be descending upon the United States, as it's written here. It's going to cast its shadow from coast to coast for the first time since 1918. It's perhaps one of the biggest astronomical events of the decade. All right? 13 days away. Now, here's where I need your help. 312-981-7200. Why is this interesting? Why is there pieces in the Tribune today talking about the Illinois Department of Transportation officials say efforts are underway to make sure the traffic keeps moving and roadways are safe during the upcoming solar eclipse? Do you know this? They're already thinking about the traffic on August 21st. The Carbondale area in southern Illinois is the path of a total eclipse. The rest of Illinois is going to see a partial eclipse. Does anybody have any idea why there's going to be a total eclipse in Carbondale and a partial eclipse anywhere else?
Well, that's the path that it's going to be going across. It'll be a complete eclipse in Carbondale. I so wish I could go down there for that.
Do you?
3 minutes. It goes to nighttime, basically. That would be amazing.
So, forgive my ignorance here. The sun is going to be blocked by the moon? The moon blocked by the sun? Earth's got something going on? Or what exactly happens? Who knows?
I think that wraps it up. The moon blocks the sun, then you have, for 3 solid minutes, it's like nighttime.
So it's going to be dead at night at what time? Do we know?
I'm not sure what
like
time
2?
It is.
Like 2?
Google it.
I think.
Hang on a second here. Solar eclipse.
The moon finally gets its comeuppance to the sun.
An eclipse is the serendipitous alignment of the earth, the moon, and the sun. Around over 18 months or so, the moon passes directly between the Earth and the Sun on its orbit around our planet. It's a relatively rare occurrence because the Moon doesn't orbit the same plane as the Earth or the Sun. Why is this interesting? 312-981-7200. But when the three bodies line up just right, the Moon covers up the disk of the Sun and those in the direct path of the Moon's shadow. You may be thinking, hey, the Moon is way smaller than the Sun. How can it cover it up? I was thinking that. Thank you for writing that. Yes, the sun is roughly... How many more times the size of is the sun of the moon, Vic? Do you know?
Not off the top of my head. I'd have to Google it.
Don't do that. I'm going to tell you in a second here. Esmeralda, you want to gander a guess?
No, I couldn't even tell you.
How many more times, Dan? I see Dan thinking about it.
67 more times.
400 times the size of the moon.
Yeah, I would guess hundreds. I mean, I've seen those comparison drawings of the Earth looks tiny compared to the sun.
The moon is how many times closer to Earth is the moon than the sun?
Wait, so the moon's bigger?
The sun is bigger.
Sun is bigger than the moon.
So then how is it going to cover it all?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out.
I think because this
sounds so stupid.
This special plane that the moon is going to be on that it normally is not visible to the other two, I think, is because the moon is so much closer to us on this trajectory that it seems bigger than it is.
Oh, like when you look at your thumb?
Right. Right. If you have your thumb up close to your eye and then you bring it away and you realize your thumb's not that big.
Yeah, my thumb isn't as big as a building. Is that kind of
thought
process?
Really, really close to the Earth when you're talking about how far the sun is from the Earth as well. So it's kind of
Vic Vaughn is correct about that. How many times closer to Earth is the moon?
You're talking millions and millions of miles we are from the sun, and the moon's probably just about the same. What, a couple hundred thousand miles?
You're exactly right. The moon, the sun is roughly 400 times the size of the moon. But the moon is 400 times closer to Earth. So they appear to be about the same size in the sky. Been in it. This is so... I wish I was more curious. And I'm trying to be right now. 312-981-7200. Are you fired up for the solar eclipse or whatever this thing is that's coming up on August 21st? What are they calling it? The solar eclipse. 2017, the moon and the sun. Vic, you're the expert here, clearly. If you could go to the moon on the 21st and the eclipse happened, would you still be a part of the eclipse if you were on the moon?
No, what you would see is the Earth disappear, I would imagine.
You would see the Earth disappear?
Yeah, if you're standing on the moon.
Yeah.
Assuming that you could see the moon, let's say you're on the top side of the moon, the north side, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and the eclipse happened, yeah. I would assume that you, from the moon, would see the Earth disappear. Obviously, you would still see the sun because there's nothing blocking your view from it.
Right, but so you wouldn't see the Earth.
Actually, maybe you'll just see an outer ring of it. Because the moon is smaller, much smaller than the Earth. So I would think you would see an outer ring of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
You'd
basically see the moon's shadow on the Earth.
312-981-7200, text line from the 630. The dumbness is scaring the crap out of me. Me too.
I think some of my brain melted out of my head.
What are you so smart about, 630 person?
Yeah, we definitely need an expert in this subject.
316 is going to bed. I think this is interesting. But
I want a teacher who teaches like second graders this.
The moon is small compared to the sun, but it's much closer. So a unique point where the moon can perfectly cover the disk of the sun. That's according to Noah Petro, who's a planetary geologist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. So there. 312-981-7200. If you can explain this better than we're explaining it, the dance floor is all yours. I am very interested in what people have to say about this and if anybody's going to Carbondale. In fact, I'm off on I don't even know if I'm off, but I'm going to make myself off on August 21st, and I will ride with you to Carbondale, and we will take in the solar eclipse on a level that it's never been taken in before.
Are you going to pretend to smell?
I might pretend. So I'll get the back seat all to myself. Good strategy. Thank you, Esmeralda. Not all eclipses are the same. Sometimes the sun is totally covered. That's called a total solar eclipse. Other times the moon only partially covers the sun, which is a partial eclipse. So there's that. If anybody understands any of this, you're an amazing person. Jeff is in the path of the eclipse, it says here. Jeff?
Hey.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Jeff, welcome to WGN. By the way, we have full phones on this. I love you people. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am in St. Joseph, Missouri, which is just north of Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
And our town is 75,000 to maybe 80,000. And they're saying we're to get 500,000 people to 750,000 here just to watch this.
Just to watch it in St. Joe's, which, by the way, is the home, or at least it was, I think it still is, the home of Kansas City Chiefs training camp. Sports guy
yes,
over here.
Yes, it is.
Right. That's how I know St. Joe's. I've been to St. Joe's. There, Jeff, I used to work in Kansas City. We'd go to St. Joe's to see the Chiefs. All right.
Yep.
So what are you saying here?
They're saying we'll be gridlock. You guys were talking about the traffic situation.
Yeah.
They said our I-29 could be like a graveyard for cars.
So you're telling me that everyone's coming to St. Joe's because it's going to be dark for 3 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Does that make you feel like, I don't know, Jeff, like slightly disappointed that the one time in your life that everyone's cascading around your town is because it's going to be dark?
Well, I guess it's better than it's for something horrific then.
That's true. Are you listening on the Weber right now, or are you getting 720 powering through?
I'm getting you guys crystal clear on my radio.
That's awesome. That's a beautiful thing. All right, well, are you inviting us down, or what's the deal here?
Hey, if you guys can fight the traffic and everything, more power to you.
I mean, you go to Chiefs training camp, although I think it's over by that point, but you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah, you know, but you can go to St. Joe's, and then you can, you know, head on up to Kansas City, get some barbecue.
Can we do a remote for 2 minutes?
2 minute remote?
That would be an expensive remote, wouldn't it?
That would be, but it would be worth it, I think, considering just if there's going to be 700,000 people, I could, you know.
What they're saying is our, you know, the future forecast for the weather saying it's supposed to be partly cloudy here that day.
Mm. Well, these things change.
If I come
down there on the 21st, Jeff, I could bring cards. Hey, I'm Mark Carmen, WGN Radio, fansided.com, at the Carm on Twitter. I might be able to build my brand.
Well, hey, you know what? As long as it works for you and you get people to listen to you, I do. I listen to you guys overnight.
We appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for sharing, man.
Thank you.
Go Chiefs. Go St. Joe's. Yep, absolutely. 312-981-7200. We do have open phones right now. Everybody apparently dropped off, except for you, Marissa. Welcome to WGN. You know this is fascinating, Marissa. You know that you've never heard anybody break down a solar eclipse the way I'm doing it right now, along with Dan.
Right. You're doing a phenomenal job, and lots of people are listening, and they're getting really interested in the eclipse. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm already looking forward to the next one. There are people that just follow total eclipses. They go all over the world, wherever the eclipse is, and they just experience it because it's a life-changing experience.
How does it change your life, Marissa, if you can be so bold?
Well, I mean, if this is like a phenomenon that affects like the Earth and the Moon and the Sun, like the whole universe, how can it not change your life? I mean, you're going to experience this. It's going to be dark. The animals are going to be going a little bit crazy. When you look at the ground, like if you're looking from a tree, you're going to see all these like little like half moons, and it's just going to be so bizarre and so weird. And, you know, and I know like in the past, when they had eclipses, people would go crazy because they didn't think the sun would ever come back again.
Mm.
So just to experience that, it's like historical.
I heard that the Greek god Zeus thought that the sun was going to go away forever on one of those eclipses. Right?
Right, right, right.
I just completely made that up, Marissa, just for the record. But you never know. It could be true. I hate to say this, Marissa. Maybe I'm being negative here, but I don't think I'm going to feel like my life has changed if it gets all dark for 3 minutes. That's just me.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just going to be like boom, boom, like night, day, you know, day, night, day, you know. And
day, night, day?
Just, yeah, day, night, day. And then it's just going to be gone.
Do you think
and then you have to wait like another 7 years.
Mm. Do you think like there's romance around this? Like people get all turned on around the eclipse?
Well, you know, like with the full moon, you get all the things like, you know, there's a lot more people in the ERs and more people have babies and stuff. I mean,
that's true.
Of course, there has to be some kind of planetary, universal power that overcomes us all who experience the eclipse.
312-981-7200. Are you feeling a planetary universal power the way Marissa is right now? I'm starting to come with you here. I'm what did you just say? Babies are born on the eclipse? Did
no,
you say that?
More babies are born when there's a full moon.
More babies. Hang on a second here. I want to do a little computer check here. More babies are born with a full moon.
While you're typing this, may I just say, as a phone screener, I do believe in the full moon because I can tell when one's coming up based upon the tenor of calls I get.
Myth or fact, women go into labor during a full moon from Duke Health. Now, this was written in 2013, so times could have changed, and my computer's incredibly slow. But let's just see what it says here. Duke Health. Okay, all right here. Very important. From high tides to bouts of insomnia to good luck, a full moon has been said to cause a wide range of things. Does the waxing moon also bring babies? Over the years, many researchers have sought to determine whether more babies are born during the full moon, like Marissa is asserting right now on WGN. While the growing moon may not hasten the arrival of the little bundle of joy, an incoming storm might, according to McDonald, who's the director of Duke Midwifery Services, agreeing that the reason this myth has persisted for so long is likely because of strong cultural ties. There's a lot of belief systems and cultures around the world linking the cycle of the moon and women's fertility. But apparently, according to this, Marissa, I don't want to burst your bubble here, but that's not exactly true.
Well, I worked in a hospital. I was like the OB social worker for 8 years, and it just seemed like it was true.
Well,
I didn't do a study, but it just seemed like every full moon, we just had more babies.
Marissa, I forget Duke Health. I'm with you. If you say it, you're calling right now. I'm on Team Marissa.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling, Marissa.
Thanks. Okay, enjoy the eclipse.
you as well. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
312-981-7200. I hate to tell you this, but we're going to continue this conversation right after weather here. So if you can feel free to join in if you'd like. And if you're on hold, stay right there because I could go. I mean, I might bong the Steve Cochran show just to continue to do this. Maybe Steve would allow that. 312.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see.
I'm seriously so excited to continue to talk the moon and the solar eclipse. 2017. It's 2017. I hope I'm here in 2018 if there's another one of these. I want to somehow, some way, drag this out to the end of the show at 5. But I'm going to need your help. 312-981-7200, because my thoughts will come to an end at some point. But we are talking about solar eclipse 2017. Solar eclipses happen every 18 months or so. Why is this one such a big deal? Does anybody know the answer to that? Why is this one such a big deal, Esmeralda?
Oh, I think that's because we can see it. Usually it's not in our neighborhood.
You're right about that.
It's usually like in some other country or up in the mountains somewhere.
Yeah, it's because this eclipse is all American. The shadow of the eclipse will pass from the west coast of Oregon all the way to the east coast of South Carolina. It's the first time a total solar eclipse has passed from one coast to the other in 99 years. 99 damn years. 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Are you fired up for the solar eclipse, and are you learning anything right now? Paxton, welcome to WGN.
Mark, I'm loving this Astronomy 101. I got to put some moonlight, though, on this full moon effect.
Uh-huh.
I took an astronomy class, and I lasted 2 weeks. You know, I was trying to learn. I thought maybe I learned the secrets of the zodiac, that kind of thing.
The secrets the of the zodiac. Okay, go on. Yep. Uh-huh.
And all I saw was calculus and geometry. And so I wasn't going to be there long. But I did fire out that question once about the full moon effect, and all I got was ridicule from the professor, saying that it's a complete myth, and the moon is always there. It's always full. People say, I think Dan was mentioning people act differently on the full moon. He can anticipate it. It's because he expects it. And then my argument was, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. If the full moon has no effect, people think it does. Therefore, it occurs.
So you're saying that what Dan is experiencing here on 720 WGN when he's taking calls when there's a full moon is a sort of placebo effect. Because actually, what you're pointing out somewhat brilliantly right now, Paxton, is that the moon doesn't actually change shape and size. It's always just the moon.
Yes, that's exactly right. Although I wouldn't call it a placebo effect. It's more of the Pygmalion effect.
A what?
The Pygmalion effect, where you expect something to be a certain way, like a beautiful statue that could come alive, and it does, because it's a foregone conclusion. You've already pictured it in your mind, so it's a Pygmalion effect. But anyway, the professor and all the kids in there, who are mostly math majors, they laughed me out of the class.
Greek myth of Pygmalion, a sculptor who fell in love with a statue he had carved, or alternately after the Rosenthal Jacobson study. Mike Jacobson producing the Steve Cochran show coming up at 5 o'clock is the opening bell. Yes. Steve at 6.
It's also called My Fair Lady. It starred the great Leslie Nielsen back in the 1939.
Is that?
That's Pygmalion. That's the story of Pygmalion, where he picked up the gutter snipe and turned her into a beautiful lady.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew that he could, because he saw that inner beauty, and he pretended that she was beautiful. She pretended she was beautiful, and then she was.
It might surprise you, Paxton, that I actually am learning something right now and didn't know everything you just said. So I want to thank you.
It's been a great ride. Talk to you later.
Have a great day, Paxton. 312-981-7200. Why is this particular solar eclipse exciting to you? What does it mean? Let's discuss what's going on with the moon, the sun, Earth, you, me, Esmeralda, Dan, and of course Vic Vaughn.
When I'm dancing in the moonlight, it's got me in the spotlight. It's all right. Dancing in the moonlight on this long, hot summer night.
Good morning, 407. That's right, we're dancing in the moonlight. Talking solar eclipse 2017. I'm Mark Carmen, and for Nick DiGilio, I am a solar eclipse expert. Nobody understands the moon and the sun and Earth and astrology like I do. That's why you're listening right now. Let me tell you something more that I can read off the internet about this eclipse as to why this is very interesting and why. This started for me today, by the way, just reading a Tribune report that Illinois Department of Transportation officials say efforts are underway to make sure traffic keeps moving, roadways are safe during the upcoming solar eclipse. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then it continues, the Carbondale area, southern Illinois, is the path of a total eclipse. The rest of Illinois is going to see a partial eclipse. So if you go to Carbondale and you channel your inner Saluki, you're going to get the total eclipse. The rest of us are going to get the partial eclipse. Esmeralda, what's better, the total or the partial? Like, is that like going to Wendy's and not getting the full value meal, not getting the fry and the drink? Are we just going to get the sandwich here in Chicago and no fry, no drink?
I think so.
Well, we got to go.
No cheese.
We got to go to Carbondale then, don't we?
I mean, good luck.
What do you mean by that? You're not coming.
I'm not going anywhere. Okay, it's fine. There'll be video.
All right, fine. Dan might come. Hello, Dan. Welcome.
Sure. Why not? Hey.
Good morning.
Double Dan. Good morning, Dan. It says here that the super moon is cooler. What's the super moon?
That's when, I believe it's when the moon is closest to the Earth.
But with a solar eclipse, you can't, unless you got protection, you can't look at it. Super moon, if there's no cloud coverage, you know, as long as, you know, the moon is up, you could look at it all night.
See, I keep hearing this, people saying you can't look at it. Like, what's going to happen if I look at it?
Well, they were saying even if it's worse if you look through, like, a telescope or binoculars, because it increases the intensity, I guess, of the for the lenses. He said, one guy on one news station said it won't affect your eyes right away, but in the days to come after that, you could, I don't know, burn something out of your eyes or something.
The retina's going to get burned out of your eyes?
Well, it'll go from, if you had 20/20, it'll go to down, like, I don't know, 20/50 or something like that.
Hang on a second here. Super, hang on,
super moon
solar eclipse. Is that what I'm Googling?
Wait, the supermoon just when it's all big.
Yeah, when it's closest to the Earth.
Yeah, but that's just the moon.
Right, but
you
I mean,
look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's if there's no clouds out or not, you know, it lights up. It's like the harvest moon in October, November.
The old harvest moon. I like a good harvest moon. Is that when the moon gets? Is that when it gets all orange, or is that the sun?
I believe the harvest moon is when it's. That like the yellowish orange tint to it.
Mm.
I thought that's what they called it because of the farmers could plow the fields later in the day because of the moonlight or something like that.
Why do I just want to sing Dancing in the Moonlight? That's the only response I really have for you right now, Dan.
Shine on Harvest Moon.
We could do Harvest Moon. Are you going to be in Carbondale, Dan? How are you going to take in this solar eclipse?
I have work. I don't. Who are these people that go just follow the solar eclipse? They don't have jobs or they got tons of money?
Maybe both. We could have a combo. Yeah.
I get up at 1:30 in the morning.
Do you feel a sense of remorse that you won't be there?
No, because I'm sure somebody will have it on film or something. I could just watch it afterwards.
Right. So you're saying that this live event that where traffic is going to be stopped and there's 900,000 people coming to St. Joe's, Missouri, which is an amazing phenomenon, as we talked to one caller tonight. You're not as excited, despite the excitement that we're brewing right now on WGN.
No, not in the least.
But you did.
I just got a question to ask you. What do you think the Bears are going to do this year?
you officially are my guy, Dan. What do I think the Bears are going to do this year? I think there's going to be a great Bears postgame show right here on 720 WGN after the games, mainly 3 o'clock on Sundays after noon kickoffs with Hamp, OB, and Kaz, and I'll be directing.
I usually listen to that, too.
So. God bless you for that. I think the Bears are, I don't know, man. I'm not super optimistic, but they have their first preseason game Thursday night, so maybe, hopefully, something positive will come out of that. How's that for you? Let's dream up an 8-8 season, Dan. Let's be optimistic.
Do you think they'll do better than Miami?
I think the odds are the Dolphins will have a better season. Although I read a ton about Miami today, and a lot of people think the Dolphins are a 7-9 football team. Which, if the Bears have the dream season you're talking about, maybe they can get there. But Dan, you're getting off track, or we're talking moons. We can't think about the Bears right now. That's going to take us right into the gutter.
Well, I can't go in the gutter. I'm on my way to work now. So.
That's right. What do you do, Dan?
I work for a major health home health company.
Oh, very cool.
And, biggest one in the Chicagoland area.
Well, keep us healthy. Keep us safe, Dan. Appreciate you.
I tried. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. The moon and the Bears. That's a combo that I didn't anticipate would happen tonight. 312-981-7200.
You know why you didn't anticipate it? Because it's a full moon.
It's a full moon, right?
Just to save me a few phone calls here. All right. So you don't look at the eclipse because the darkness that accompanies an eclipse can override the natural tendency to squint and avert the eyes, increasing the amount of ultraviolet radiation landing on the retina and making it more likely that you'll sustain eye damage. So do not look at this eclipse in 3 weeks or whatever it is without a proper pair of glasses.
The last thing I need is extra ultraviolet radiation situation in my retina. What does that mean? I can't look at the sky?
You want to be wearing glasses if you're going to be watching it for a sustained amount of time.
What does sustained mean? 5 seconds, 5 minutes? What are we talking about?
I would say 5 seconds, you're probably okay. But 5 minutes, I would probably grab a pair of glasses.
It's also only 2 minutes, so.
Right. So what does that mean in this from a sustaining staring situation?
Don't stare at it more than a few seconds. Unless you want your retinas to burn out.
Bennett Wake Knight, who does phenomenal work, is texting me saying that Steve Grzanich is going to be live down in Carbondale on Monday, August 21st for the eclipse.
There you go.
We are sending the Grizzle Bear to Carbondale. That is
carpool.
I could go with Steve Grzanich to Carbondale.
You'd be the man on the street with the mic, moving around, interviewing people.
Grzanich can't do that alone. Why can't I get involved? It's got to be. I don't know who.
I know Patty was talking about it, and she was saying that they're opening up a football field down in Champaign, and people can sit in there
and just watch
and
it.
Watch it,
but not stare too long.
No, well, you got to wear the special glasses. Right.
I don't want to make light of this, but I don't know. It seems a little bit over the top for me, this non-staring thing. 312-981-7200. Is it essential that WGN sends me to cover the solar eclipse? It could launch this. I mean, the station has, you know, been fairly successful over time. I think we've done some good things here. And people have made, like, the Walk of Fame. And
I think this could be award-winning.
Some people have, you know, the biggest names in Chicago have worked here. But if I go to the solar eclipse, the station might get to a whole other level. Anybody? 312-981-7200. Text line is loading up. 630 says, I think it's hilarious that the guy who works for a major health company is telling everyone to look at the solar eclipse. Hey, maybe he knows something that we don't. I'm down with, I mean, I don't want to encourage anybody to do something that is on the record that's bad for you. But I am a little bit skeptical about this whole going blind looking at the solar eclipse thing. I don't know if I believe that. Actually, I know I don't believe that. But what do I know? Let's see. You will have an Ark of the Covenant type effect. Don't look at it. Look, snap a pic, be done, or you'll end up like the Nazis. That's our first Nazi reference on the station tonight.
Are you talking like an Indiana Jones and their faces melt off?
I don't know. That would seem like a... It says 630 says, you absolutely cannot look at it. Do not listen to this genius. First time I've been called a genius on the show. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I think that might have been slightly tongue-in-cheek. I'm not sure, though. There is a linkage between the Ruski bots and the solar eclipse. Dan, do you know what a Ruski bots is?
I believe there is controversy surrounding some of the social media activity and support of current and former candidates that might have been created by Russians.
815 texting in, you've got to get a full-time gig. I knew it. This was the way for me to build a momentum. When you can talk about a solar eclipse the way I'm talking about it right now. We got to do weather and traffic? I'm about to get super deep here. 312-981-7200. Solar eclipse is coming.
Leaping and hopping on the moon shadow.
I'd like to thank Mrs. Cooksey. The great Mrs. Cooksey. One of my science teachers at Highland Park High School back in the day. Mr. Hieronymus. All bringing me to this moment now where we can talk intelligently about the solar eclipse that's coming on August the 21st. By the way, I'm back here Thursday night into Friday. We can do this again if you really want. One text from the 815 says, we're all doomed. The solar eclipse is going to end us all, which did put me into a minor panic. And indeed, people believe that this is the solar eclipse reveals exact date Nibiru, that is a planet, will destroy Earth. I think it's a planet. The moon is going to cover the sun on August 21st. The people that are terrified are saying, causing a sudden drop in temperature, plunging the Earth into darkness. More than half the planet, including 12 U.S. states, will witness the once-in-a-lifetime event dubbed the Great American Total Solar Eclipse. A number of Christian fanatics have claimed the eclipse will herald the end of the world and maybe one of the prophesized 10 biblical plagues. Now, the leading voice in the Niebuhr Cataclysm movement has suggested it's proof a mythical alien planet will devastate life on Earth with an apocalyptic strike or near miss. Did you know this was happening, Esmeralda? Because you haven't mentioned this all night, that the world could end on the 21st.
I did not hear about that.
See? Now what do you think?
I'm still going to probably watch it on YouTube.
312-981-7200. Is the world going to end on the 21st? Because if this is like the second to last show I ever do, I might want to rethink things. I've only got about 37 minutes to go here. Dan, is the world coming to an end?
I certainly hope not.
But you think that's a possibility?
I mean, you never know.
You do never know. See, it sounds ridiculous, but you do never know. But we can't act like the world's coming to an end, can we?
Will you be watching it now after this conversation?
Will I be watching the solar eclipse?
Yep.
I'm going to Carbondale with Steve Krasanich on August
21st. There's glasses on the free table.
There's glasses on the free table?
Yeah, their planetarium dropped off glasses yesterday.
Did they really?
Yes.
That's very nice of them.
I grabbed 4 for my family.
You grab 4 glasses? For how many glasses were there? This could be over glass taking.
There's 8. I did not feel bad grabbing 4.
Okay, so there's 4 left?
4 left.
Interesting.
So but Chelsea.
Me, Chelsea, Esmeralda.
V. I like it.
There you go.
You guys can go on a double date. Not drink sugary beverages.
Is V Esmeralda's boyfriend?
Yeah, that's her nickname for him.
Why V? Is Esmeralda now stepping away from the microphone?
No, there was one time Brian Noonan was on, and I was talking about him, and he, for some reason, said, what is he, a lizard person?
Yeah,
and I went, yep,
he has like
a
forked
man.
Tongue or something, or he has 2 sets of wisdom teeth or something crazy like that.
No, that's me.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, I have the 2 sets of wisdom teeth. I don't know why he said that, but so, and he was like, what is he? Like, he's like a V from that old show back in the day. They're lizard people.
Ah, the lizard people show.
Yes.
I never saw that show.
He is referred to as V.
Well, what's his actual name?
Colin.
Right. I've met Colin.
You have, yes.
Yes, we had dinner. Me, you, Patty, after we worked out. Remember, your foot was hurting?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, see, how do I...
Wasn't hurting.
You sure about that? Because I feel like your foot was hurting. We were running. You said your foot was sore. I pay attention.
Oh, my ankle.
See?
But that's just like in general. Working out.
Well, okay, but I just want to make it known here that I pay attention to what's going on with you. By the way, do I have another break before the 4:30 here?
You do have another break.
That's too bad. Because there's a lot of text going on here telling me, do not look into the light or let the sunlight hit you as you may multiply. And don't eat after midnight again. You might multiply like a gremlin.
Hey, that sounds like not a bad idea.
630 is saying
multiply.
That I could be multiplying around this solar eclipse.
Oh, and then one of your multiplies could go down to Carbondale.
One of your
multiples.
An extra Mark Carmen could go with Steve Krasanich to report back on the solar eclipse, and I could just hang out and see it through the other Mark Carmen's eyes.
There you go. Oh, so you have some sort of connection to them all in that way. So you see what they
trade like consciousness is?
Yeah. We could all be, I think we're all one. 217's texting in total eclipse, which I believe is another total eclipse over Carbondale again in 2024. I'm not waiting for 2024. I'm all in on 2017. I got to talk to Krasanich before I get out of here today, see if he'll let me come with him. That might be a tough sell. News coming up in 2 minutes, 720 WGN. There's some good news in that Vic Vaughn newscast right there.
I did try.
That was huge. You can actually go get a LaCroix and not have to pay the soda tax?
You're supposed to be able to, but apparently
And Walgreens isn't the only one that has admitted some snafus. You know, they need to recode that stuff.
But all we need is a recoding. We can have a LaCroix and not pay the soda tax.
That's the hope.
I'm saying that's good news. I'm going with good news here, Vic. I'm seeing the positive. It's like seeing the moon and the sun all at the same time. You can tie it in with the LaCroix. Look at how it all comes back together.
that's very good right there.
Are you feeling me?
I am. And positive. Yeah, we'll assume that the coding was not intentional.
Well, right. I mean,
intentionally take this man's money. Sure.
Perhaps it was but that's why we need to be out there for each other. Fighting that soda tax, fighting your right to party and have a LaCroix and not pay an extra whatever it is. Wait, hold on a second, Esmeralda. Let me turn your mic on. What was that about LaCroix?
You can have a LaCroix.
You can have a LaCroix.
It's not taxed.
It's right. That's what, well, but it was.
It was.
It was.
Oh, that's because Walgreens is stupid and they were,
well, they were
taxing
stupid.
Everyone.
But they're better now. Because people like Vic Vaughn are out there on that wall reporting the news and they gotta come correct. So, Vic, know that you're having an impact on the world right now. And people are going to be able to drink their LaCroix and not spend an extra, what is it? It's a cent an ounce, isn't that right?
A penny per ounce. And it's probably a good idea to attribute the Tribune for that news story.
Vic was at the Walgreens.
Probably a good time to thank those reporters.
Sure.
That's a Tribune report.
I'm loyal to you, man. I know the Trib guy, and I read it too. I was actually going to throw that in there tonight, so I was just glad to hear it in the news. But yes, I think the soda tax is a good thing. It's going to maybe keep me healthier. I'm less likely to drink Coca-Cola. That's probably a win. But I do love my LaCroix if I'm going to splurge on a carbonated drink, and now I can save myself the 12 cents per can.
You save even more and just get a soda stream.
Yeah, that's like, but then you got to learn how to use that, and there's parts.
There's a button.
No, but don't you have to like buy like a carbonated
something?
You buy
a carton.
Yeah.
You buy a cartridge, you pop it in, and then you hit a button.
Yeah, but then where do you put it?
What do you mean, where do you put it? On your kitchen counter.
And then how's it cold?
Because you put it in the, you use cold water, and you put it in the fridge.
It seems too complicated.
Sure. Okay.
I just want to buy the can. I want to crack it open. Bang. But maybe I think I could do that. All right. I know it's disappointing for some, but we're moving on from the moon.
Oh, but there's so much more.
There was so much more. I have something that's important, though, here that we must get in before we turn it over to the opening bell and Steve Krasanich, who I'm going to be joining in Carbondale, if he allows me to. I hear I'm already out, though. Dave Schwann is going with Steve Krasanich to Carbondale.
They don't got a back seat? You can't sit in the back?
Yeah, I mean, gonna say it,
two's company, three's a crowd.
Yeah, what are they in, a convertible?
Krasanich and Schwann have cornered the market on this eclipse. Apparently, Krasanich's family's down there, so he's going to get to stay with his mom. And Schwann can't find a hotel room to save his life. He's going to be 2 hours out. I'm surprised that they're not.
Quite some drama.
This is a lot of drama here. I mean, if I went on the trip, I'd probably have to get my own hotel room too. Because if they're going solo, then it'd be weird. I'd feel it'd be awkward for me to partner with Schwann or Steve. So then I'd have to get my own thing. And then I'm 4 hours out. And then how would we meet? So I think. I think I got to bung the trip here. I don't think it's going to happen.
And Carm, this is Mary.
Hey, Mary.
And I also believe that Schwani's dad is going as well.
Schwani's dad's going to be there?
I don't think there'd be room for you.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Well, I don't know.
They got to put the cooler
and
somewhere.
And he's like 92 or something.
Are you going to be there, Mary?
Heck no. I'm going to be working, I suppose.
Mary, did you appreciate, by chance, if you were listening, the way I broke down this solar eclipse and what it means?
I did hear part of it on the way in, and I was very impressed with you.
Thank you.
It was a wonderful lesson for me, because I'm not into astronomy at all. And I have to listen to Krasanich every morning explain it to me.
Steve knows astronomy, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Really?
Yes. I'm sure he's listening right now.
That's why he's going.
Oh, he is huge in astronomy.
Well, in Carbondale, he went
to... Very knowledgeable.
So hold on a second.
He went to school there. He's a Saluki.
And his family's down there.
Yes. His mom lives there, so he's staying with his mom.
It's a three for three here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Got the mom. We got this. We got the astrology, and we got the Carbondale.
It's a family thing.
It's crazy.
Does that
Well, I'll have to go outside at noon because we'll all be at work and just, well, we can't look at it.
Is that what it's going to be, noon?
It's at noon, yes.
You don't believe that you can't really look
at it. It's going to get dark at noon. It's going to be so cool.
It's going to be dark at noon.
Yeah. Hey, don't go denying that you can't look at it, Mark, because you know people are going to look at it and then go, well, Mark Carman said that you could look at it.
You are responsible for your own actions. Don't listen to the fool on the radio.
You can get those glasses anywhere now. They're going to be everywhere, so I'm going to go get some and... then we can all look.
Do you think this is going to change your life, Mary?
No.
Not that your life needs any changing, of course.
No. I mean, I see the full moon a lot when I'm driving into work, and it's so cool. That's cool enough for me. Thanks.
Okay. Well, some people think this is going to be a life-changing event. Somebody who...
like they're going to turn into werewolves or something. I mean, what's going to happen?
Oh, my gosh. What if that was true, though? that would be quite a new story.
I'm going to get all hairy one.
This is a very rare opportunity to get to talk to Mary, too, and Esmeralda, and Dan, and myself. So we have to move into something very important. Mary, you can't leave me right now. I know you've got work to do. But
I have to clean Traffic Central.
Okay, well, just
okay.
What are you doing there when you clean Traffic Central?
I spray and I Clorox wipe.
Every day?
Well, yeah. There's a lot of people in here besides me and Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm. Like who?
Violetta.
Well,
and then whoever decides to just use our computer randomly.
Yeah.
I would never go in that studio, just so you know.
David Miranda, I have seen, has been in here. So everybody who ends in an A except me is in here.
Miranda
Esmeralda,
goes in there?
Violetta, Miranda.
You might need a whole massive professional situation.
Just shuts the door and like spray hoses go off.
Well, do you know how to grill a cheeseburger, Mary? Do you like cheeseburgers?
I do, but I don't grill.
You don't grill?
My husband does.
Okay. Well, what does he do with the cheese?
He puts it on at the last minute.
See?
And then it's very rarely... melted in and it bugs the heck out of me.
All these years I thought that your husband and everybody else was doing it right.
What do you mean?
But I have broken it down here, and your husband is cheesing your cheeseburger incorrectly. I'm about to tell you how to make your life better. This is a major Esmeralda, you're looking at me like I'm nuts. Here's what you do.
Shouldn't talk about hamburgers right now because Esmeralda can't eat anything good.
I can eat a hamburger.
You can?
I can't eat the cheese.
Oh.
But I can eat a hamburger. Okay. No bread.
What fun is that?
This is a good test for Esmeralda and how committed she is to the what? What are you doing?
The whole 30.
The whole 30.
I can eat a hamburger.
Okay, well, here we go. So this is what you do.
Lettuce wrap.
Here's what they write. Here's a dumb thing that grill chefs do. They flip the burgers on the grill and then... while the burger finishes cooking, the chef lays slices of cheese on top of the burgers.
Right.
Which presumably the heat of the grill will aid in the melting of the cheese. Right, right. Okay.
Hot meat.
Don't do this. It's dumb. The cheese does not need a lot of heat to melt. That's something to remember. And there will certainly be enough residual heat in the patty to melt the cheese.
Okay, now wait.
We talked Moon, now we're talking cheeseburgers.
Mary just said that her husband puts it on just before
right. She
takes out. So wouldn't it just be a big old honking mess of melted cheese? And she said that it barely melts.
Yeah, on a gas grill it like barely melts.
But what happens is you're not getting the flavor into the burger. Now, how do you do this? This is very difficult, but it can be done. When you turbocharge the melting process, which is what Mary's husband is doing, all you wind up with is a burger with cheese that is melted too thinly over the top. It's all folded up and congealed on the side of the burger. So you get a nice big cheesy bite of burger on the sides, but the middle of the burger, which should be the most delicious part, it's shamefully cheeseless. That's what Mary's suffering from. She's having a tough time with her middle of her burger. And so now you got this grill that's charred and cheese scraps too. This is what you do. You put the cheese on the top part of the bun. So you take the burger off, you take the top part of the bun, you put it on the plate, top part down with the cheese. And then you put the burger onto that, so it is going to melt that cheese. Then you take the bottom part of the bun, and you put your lettuce, your tomato, whatever you want to have on there, your onion, and you flip the burger back over So it has melted on the top together. So it's nice, all seamless, all in the middle, all on the sides, everywhere. And then you flip it back onto your lettuce, tomato, bottom part of the bun. And then you are living the cheeseburger dream. You're welcome. I will take gratuities at the Carm on Twitter. This is what I did all day.
It won't work.
You looked up
it
tips?
Won't, what do you mean it won't work?
Yeah, no, because, I'm with Mary.
No, it's not going to melt it. It's still not going to melt in, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Mary.
Yeah, it's not. This and is besides, written on, once it's on the bun, you're not going to tell if the cheese is melted into the burger anyway. You're just going to bite into it, and what the heck?
Right? You got so much cheese in your mouth by that
yeah.
time that whatever.
Hold
it's
on a
gone
second.
In the middle.
I am reading this to you right off the internet
from
now.
From who?
From a very reliable source.
What source is that?
It's called Adequate Man.
Oh, I feel much better now.
Here's what you do. Let me read you how he put it. Maybe I didn't say it correctly.
No, I understood
right,
it.
Right before you pull the burger off the grill, you put however much cheese you want onto the inside surface of the top bun. Then pull the burger patty off the grill, lay it down onto the cheese. Then load up the bottom bun with the condiments, the vegetation. Then you put the top half of the burger down on the bottom half. Do you see the cheese as it melts? Adheres to the porous top of the bun. There will be uniform cheese thickness across the entire burger, so that as you eat the burger, you get the delicious creaminess of cheese in every bite, and a burger that doesn't slip apart like a practical joke as soon as you lift it for a bite. Now, does that make you feel better the way he said it?
Not really. No.
I think he's an adequate man.
That's my guy, Adequate Man.
Okay.
It was written by Chris Thompson.
Chris, I don't agree.
No, well, I don't either.
You
Sorry,
guys are
Chris.
Disagreeing with what's written on the internet?
Yep.
Blasphemer. It's very disappointing. All right, fine. Fine. You keep doing what you're doing with your burger. I heard at the very start of this, Mary, you were disappointed with how your husband cooks the burger, for the record.
I was. Well, I could try it then.
See, there you go. Give it a spin.
Okay. Can I go clean now?
You can go clean now. Rock, step, march, march. Rock, step, march, march.
You got it. You're still dancing, aren't you?
I'm still dancing. Mary got me into the Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Rock, step, march,
what
march.
What is that?
What's the way you dance in the
you're
square?
Right, but what is march?
It was,
I think it's...
What dance did I do? I did some tango something.
You did a combo of a bunch of different dances. Right. I don't know. I mean, it was beautiful. I don't know what it was, but it was beautiful, Mark.
For the first three quarters of it, I had it. And then I didn't. Brittany was very disappointed in me, but that was a lot of fun, Mary. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was fun.
720 WGN. Dan, your thoughts on my cheeseburger before I move on to another very important topic, which is the Oreo.
I enjoyed it. I am willing to try it. You know, it is always a precarious situation when you're trying to make a good cheeseburger. I would understand why his bun method would work.
I mean, I think it's worth a shot.
It's always worth a shot.
Esmeralda, skeptical. You're an analyzer. You are a legit
analyzer.
Well,
no, I'm just, you know, when you put it on just before you're going to put it on a bun, it doesn't even get that melty. So why would me putting the bun on it make it even more melty? You know what I mean?
I think what your problem is, if I may.
Yes.
You are so excited to eat the burger once it comes off the grill that you're not giving it the requisite minute to say 2 minutes that the cheese that it will melt.
Pretty much.
You got to wait that time period, and then you're going to get it. It's going to be that much better. Ugh. Right.
I'm just going to eat it.
I mean, I want to eat it too. 847, that cheeseburger sounds perfect. 630, make a thumb-sized divot in the center of the patty. It helps with cooking and makes a spot for the cheese.
That makes sense.
There was an article a couple months ago as well that recommends putting an ice cube in the middle of the burger as you're cooking it because it'll help keep the middle moist.
Oh,
there we go. 630 texting in. Before you'd go, I'd like to apologize about last year. I said you suck.
Wow.
I said, you suck, where's Nick? When in fact, you do not suck. And you crack me up, and I like the... And what I like the most is you actually read my text. There you go.
Do you think
I do?
Person,
I read the text line.
Do you think that person has been feeling so guilty since last year?
I'm
just waiting for you to to fill in again?
Yeah, six real. You do not need to feel guilty. Many people have told me that I suck. You are not the only one. It's okay.
How many come back and say that you don't suck?
But and it's very nice. You're the only guy that's ever. That's the first time that anyone has ever said that I suck has come back with I don't suck.
I think that's the first time in history of anyone who sends in messages over the text or internet have come back to apologize.
Right? This could be you made history today, 630. I might call you after the show.
You can make him a cheeseburger.
Yeah, you guys can have a burger together.
We can have a burger and look at the moon.
And a LaCroix.
Don't look at the
moon. And a LaCroix without the text. Real quick, we might have time to talk Oreos, which I know people are dying to do. But Bob's got a thing about the cheese. So we got to get... Yes, Bob.
I was also going to tell you about the thumbprint thing because it does work. But it's the cheese that people use. I discovered this just the other day. I always buy the, and I won't mention a brand, individually wrapped cheeses.
You go Kraft?
And
Velveeta, which one?
Kraft.
Okay.
But, and that's what I always use. Well, we had the neighbors over, and we were short, 2 pieces of cheese, so they brought deli cheese, put it all on at the same time, and the deli cheese melts so much better.
Because that's really? Cheese.
The other cheese looks like the same thing you just unwrapped. It's barely melted.
I'm shocked by that because
that's not cheese. It's like milk and then God knows what else.
Right, but I feel like it's so processed that it's like it works.
No, clearly.
And that's why it's so processed it doesn't work.
Interesting.
No, he's absolutely right. That does. When my husband uses a Sargento or some other brand, it does work.
Yeah, I get to really? Test some good cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Got to get the better cheese.
I make a mac and cheese with the Kraft slices, and I got to tell you, it's pretty delicious.
Yeah, but that's different.
How's that different? It's still
different.
Melting.
No, but it's something about fire. Are you making your mac and cheese on a grill?
No, I'm not. That's true. Good point. All right, so we got to get some good cheese here, huh, Bob?
Absolutely.
All right.
Enjoy.
Good check-in, Bob. Talk to you tomorrow.
I would also say you should make your mac and cheese with good cheese. Ew. A mix of cheeses.
See, but that's like a whole other skill. Like my mac
and cheese. You just got grate up cheese.
Really?
You make a cheese sauce.
I mean, I go slices, a little bit of butter on the on the bottom.
Wait,
there.
Just put slices and then like on
slices,
the
milk,
noodles?
Butter, done. Delicious.
What?
I'm telling you, it's good.
Okay.
It's legit good with a little, like a tuna salad with it. I mean, we're going back to.
Do you just rip them up?
Yeah, I rip them up and I kind of, I maybe do a fold and throw them in there, stir it around. I'm telling you, it's delicious.
Oh,
maybe a little pepper.
Okay. Uh-oh. It's not the boxed Kraft mac and cheese?
No, the box, that's nasty.
You just buy the, okay.
My stuff is good.
Oh, okay.
My Kraft Singles mac and cheese.
Oh, man.
We had a thing at like there was a while back, there was like a WGN cooking thing where everybody was bringing
Did
in the recipes. I was going to, but
there's cookbooks.
Yeah, Esmeralda found it on the free table. There.
Yeah,
the GN cookbooks.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you gonna submit your mac and cheese recipe?
Carm's mac and cheese.
Oh.
That stuff's good.
Okay. Is this one of your go-to dishes? Like, do you make that for the ladies when you want to impress
man.
Them?
Yep.
Come over and have my.
I got it. My.
Oh no.
That's funny. My ex did love my mac and cheese. She legit loved it.
She like, what's the secret? I'm like, I won't tell you.
My cheese eggs, which are outstanding.
Cheese eggs?
I do a great cheese egg.
What's that?
A little scramble up a big bowl of eggs and throw some cheese in there.
Do you put the slices on top?
I go slices. I fold a bunch of, pick apart the cheese, throw it in there. And don't overcook the egg. You don't want to scramble them hard.
No, I do the Gordon Ramsay way now.
What's the Gordon Ramsay way?
You put them in a pot. Don't scramble them. You just throw them in with a chunk of butter, and then you turn on the heat and you mix it up 30 seconds. 30 seconds on flame, 30 seconds off. You just keep doing that, and they come out amazing.
That sounds like a baked situation.
It's
almost
delicious. They're fluffy and creamy. Mm. So good.
I'm hungry. All right. speaking of that, it's time to go. So the opening bell coming up next. Let's take a 2-minute time out, get you into news. 720 WGN.